number 22 this morning. Actually, let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke 23 this morning. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23. Start down there in verse number 50. Thank you again for being with us this morning. Luke chapter 23, verse number 50. Let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for your word and for your truth, Lord. Thank you for your people who are here this morning, Lord, to, Lord, remember the fact, God, that you are a resurrected Savior, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for the songs we've been able to sing this morning, Lord. I pray, God, that they honored and glorified you. I trust they did. Now, Lord, just meet with us in a mighty way this morning. Lord, just bind the devil off this place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you now to, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. Let us have a good time in church this morning. Bless the food in the next hour. And Lord, bless these kids and these workers, Lord, in the play in the 11 o'clock hour. And Lord, most of all, Lord, we just want to honor the Savior today. Thank you for just being God. Thank you for being sweet to us, Lord. Everything we do, honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 23, verse number 50. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a what, church? A good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. Verse 52, this man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Listen, we're not going to be long this morning, but I want to show you some things this morning. I think it's very important to remember this day. One, just who Jesus was. Two, what he did for you. And three, that he's not dead. Listen, in the next hour, the Lord showed me some things this week that I thought was really powerful, and I hope maybe some of you have seen it before, but just the thought that he gave me for the 11 o'clock hour is very interesting. But I want this morning to show you, I don't want to focus so much on his resurrection right now. I want to focus on what Jesus actually done for us and some of the people that were in this story. But number one, we see Joseph's desire for the body of his Savior. I wonder, what desire do you have for Jesus this morning? I wonder if we were to say on Easter morning, how many woke up this morning and said, you know what? I'm going to church because I'm remembering Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Listen, but what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through Saturday? What is your desire for Jesus in your heart this morning? What is your desire for Jesus in your home, mom and dad? What is your desire for Jesus at work? Because look, if we'd be honest, if we desired Jesus on Monday like we do on Sunday, and we desired to hear from him, and listen, the Bible gives us every opportunity we need to hear from our Savior each and every day. And all God's people said, listen, what is your desire for Jesus this morning? We see Joseph, he begged for the body of Jesus. Can we turn over to Isaiah 53 this morning? Let's just look at this body of Jesus and exactly what it done for you. I want you to see what Jesus really did for you and me. This is no fairy tale that we preach about. It's a good story. But folks, can I say this morning, it is a true story. It is not fiction. It is very real that Jesus Christ indeed did partake of the cross and death and hell for you and I. In Isaiah 53, verse number 3, let's just start in verse number 1. The Bible says, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Look at this, folks. He is what? Despised and rejected of men. How many would say in our day and age, you see people that despise Jesus Christ? You see people that reject Jesus Christ? If we were to all be honest and think back in time when we were lost, we could all remember a day when we despised Jesus and when we rejected Jesus. Folks, we're no different. But look, he was despised. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, yet, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Aren't you thankful he bore your griefs this morning? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, folks, we are what? Aren't you thankful for the stripes of Jesus? And remember this. He did not have to do any of this for you. He chose to do it for you. Why? Because he loved you. The Bible teaches greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his what? Life for his friends. Think about this. Lost man, saved man. Lost woman, saved woman. Listen, Jesus Christ called you his friend even before you chose to come to know him. He knew who you were. He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. Listen, he knows the very hairs of your head this morning. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your strong points. He knows your ailments. He knows everything there is to know about you. But the question is this morning, do you know him? Because he was bruised for your iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. Verse 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. How many know sheep are pretty dumb? The Bible says all we like what? Can you ever remember a time in your life, Christian, and I'm not making fun of you, I'm preaching at me right now, but can you ever remember a time in your life where you turned away from Jesus and you said, you know what? I don't need you. If you really cared, this never would have happened. How many believe that lie before? Just about every single one of us in here could be honest and say, you know what? There's been a time where times have gotten rough, times have gotten hard, and I'm like a sheep, I'm just dumb, and I turn away from my Savior. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now picture God in heaven at this moment, and all we can do is picture this. We'll never know exactly how he felt. The closest I can come to even comparing to this story would be taking one of my own sons or my daughter, one of my children, and sitting them before the foundation of the world and looking out and knowing the wickedness of every man's heart is desperately wicked and evil continually, and saying, Jesus, you're the only pure one. You're the only holy one. You're the only sinless one. You're the only perfect one. You're the only spotless one. You're the only way that these people are ever going to get to me. They're going to have to go through you. The Bible said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And picture God looking at Jesus carrying on. Imagine the conversation they must have been having with each other. Imagine the end when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, you want to know the answer to that question? It's because of your and my sins. Listen, folks, God hates sin this morning. God hates sin. Say it with me. God hates sin. But let me tell you something. He loves the sinner. He loves the sinner more than you could ever imagine. You say, how could he hate sin but love the sinner? Well, that's the reason he had this conversation with Jesus. He said, look, son, you're the only way. You're the only truth. You're the only life. You've got to be the sacrifice. It must be you. And imagine God in heaven looking at his only begotten son. Put yourself in his shoes, although you'll never really physically be able to do it. But put yourself in God's shoes for just a minute and think about how looking upon the face of your only begotten son or daughter or one of your sons and daughters and saying, look, you are going to be the reason that these people have a way to get to me, but it's not going to be easy. You're going to become flesh and dwell among men for 33 and a half years. You're going to teach. You're going to preach. You're going to get mocked. You're going to get persecuted. You're going to get spit on. You're going to get beat. You're going to have a crown of thorns gashed into your brain. They're going to beat you until you're unrecognizable. They're going to hang you on a cross before the foundations of the world. They're going to torture you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to make fun of your followers. The ones that you did good for are going to mock you. They're going to say, crucify you. But it's got to be you. Imagine telling your son or daughter that. See how real this thing must have got? What a spiritual warfare battle must have been going on. Folks, Jesus was despised and rejected of men. Imagine being the lame man who was let down through the roof. What faith the disciples must have had to cut a hole in a roof that day. There was no room to go inside. The preaching service was going on, but someone was inside that could make a difference. Amen. His name was who? Jesus. And the disciples said, look, we ain't going through the door. There's no way. Imagine being this guy. Hey, let's go up there, cut a hole in the roof, and let the man down through the roof. Why? Because they had such faith that Jesus could make a difference. They cut a hole in the stinking roof and lowered the man in. And what did Jesus do? He healed him. He said, take up thy bed and walk. And just a few years later, a few months later, probably that same man was in that crowd crying what? Crucify him. Imagine being the blind man coming up and Jesus spitting in the sand and spitting in the clay and reaching down with his hands and wiping the blind man's eyes. And the blind man opens up his eyes for the first time in his life, and he sees things. He sees what people look like. He could hear voices, but he didn't have a clue what a human being looked like. Imagine seeing for the very first time in your life, later just to cry. How about the 5,000 who sat on the hillside, hungry? Anybody ever been hungry before? Pretty soon, after you're hungry for a while, you get angry. We call it hangry, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You're driving along. I mean, it happened just a couple days ago. We were driving Brother Jake to the airport in Montgomery, me and Brother Andy and Brother Jake, and everyone was hungry. And, man, we were going to stop in Andalusia before we left, but every drive-through was full. And I'm like, we'll just go to Greenville, no big deal. Well, we get to Greenville, pulled in there, wasted 9 minutes of my life in three drive-throughs, didn't get anything to eat. Now I'm even more mad. Hadn't eaten all day. I mean, I'm withering away. Why does everyone laugh at that? I don't understand. But you guys are awful people. Despised and rejected. Listen, we finally got some food and we felt better. But listen, imagine being the 5,000 sitting on the hillside hungry with no drive-thrus, no restaurants, but a Savior's there. And along comes a little boy with five loaves and two fishes. And Jesus said, hey, I know someone that can do something with that. You ever notice how Jesus didn't just break bread, he lifted up to the Father? You notice how humble Jesus was? You know, Jesus could have done it himself. Everybody know that? He was God in the flesh. But imagine being those 5,000 people, left there full, all to later just cry what? Crucify him. How about the woman at the well? You guys remember that lady? Said, where is thy husband? I have no husband. Thou hast well said. And he kept the people from stoning this woman to death. All to more than likely be a part of the crowd that cried what? Hey folks, what I'm trying to say this morning is we're part of that crowd. We're sinners. No doubt some here are sinners saved by grace. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, if you're not part of that crowd, listen, you're a despiser. You're a rejecter. Let's take it a step further. Imagine being the disciples after the 5,000 are fed, picking up the 12 baskets. How many disciples did he have? Imagine being those disciples. Anyone remember how many disciples were present at the crucifixion? Was it one? John. One had already betrayed him. One had denied him three times. One is present. It's kind of like the 10 lepers that were healed. Or 12 lepers. 10 were bad and 2 were good. 2 came back to say thank you. 10 left off and just went their way. Doesn't that sound like some of us? We get what we don't deserve, and then we just go on living the same way. But one disciple at the cross, one had rejected him, or one had betrayed him, one had denied him. Where were the other 9? Despised and what? Rejected. Now, I can't prove that the disciples were there saying, crucify him. The Bible don't say that. But I can tell you this. We're in that crowd of despisers. And we're in that crowd of rejectors that the Bible's talking about. It was our sin that Jesus Christ had to die for. It was our sin. We would not be sitting here today as a group of believers had Jesus Christ not chosen to die for us. He chose to die for us. He was despised and rejected for what? Healing the sick, raising the dead, making the lame walk, making the blind see, making the deaf to hear, feeding 5,000. Hey, how could anyone reject such love the same way you and I do? Whenever we get what we get, when we think we need it, you know what I'm talking about? Things get hard and all of a sudden we need Jesus, right? I need thee every hour. You know that song. Hey, the truth is we need him every single hour, because here's the truth. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, sees what you do not. He sees tomorrow for some of you. You know what I'm talking about? Some of us have been through recent storms in our life. Jesus saw the storm before you ever did, and guess what? Jesus had a remedy for your storm. You know Jesus is the remedy for our storms? Jesus is the remedy for your soul. But how could anyone despise and reject such love? In verse number 4 of Isaiah 53, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him. No one had respect for Jesus. How could we disrespect our Savior so much after what he has done for us? He loved us so much, folks, he took on all of our hurts. If you could just take a trip down memory lane right now and just think, just all the way back to 1 year ago, how many have had something unfortunate happen in the last year? I mean, things that if you could change, raise your hand. I'd change it if I could. It never would happen if I was in control. But now, the same hand should go up and be able to testify that Jesus knew about that situation. He was good in that situation, and folks, he's the God on the mountain, and he's the God in the valley. Remember, to get to the next mountain, you've got to cross a what? A valley. But even in the valley, God is good. Hey, he is. And sometimes it's better in the valley than it is on the mountain. It might not seem like it right now, but I'll tell you what, when you take that final step through that valley and you start that incline, and things start feeling a little bit better. How do you think you got the energy to even climb the next mountain, folks? Because the valley, you trusted whom you should be trusting. He helped you through that valley, and you get to that mountain, you're like, hey, there's a mountaintop up there. I think I'll just go with God. For looking back my way, I don't see a lot. With him there is joy and blessings untold. So I think I'll just go with God. Hey, wouldn't it be better if we just go with God? Say, what does this have to do with the resurrection? I don't know, but it's positive. And it's good. We'll talk about the resurrection next hour. Verse number 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are what? With his stripes we are healed. Every stripe that Jesus took was for our healing. Jesus Christ suffered so that we could go free. Now that doesn't, how many live by the slogan, that's not fair? A lot of us don't we? But I wonder how many of us have ever thought, that's not fair that Jesus had to do that so that I could go free. See, in reality, we didn't have to suffer anything. Did we? He suffered it all because he loved me. I'm in a singing mood this morning for some reason. I like to sing, and a lot of songs are coming to my mind. I might just sing the whole next hour. I don't know. But look, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ chose to suffer for me. And you better be thankful that Jesus Christ chose to suffer for you, because without him choosing to do so, don't forget, he was God in the flesh. Just as much as God was in heaven that he was crying out to, that much God was hanging on the cross that day. Everybody understand that? The same amount of God was on the cross as there was in heaven. Listen, he chose to partake of death for you. In Luke 24, verse number 5 and 6, let's go there. And we'll finish up this morning. Luke chapter 24, verse number 5 and 6. I like this part. The Bible says, "And as they were afraid and bowed their faces down to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is what, folks? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." Can I say this morning, folks, I'm going to end on this. I'm thankful this morning for a Savior who died. I really am. I'm thankful for a Savior who chose to die for me. I'm thankful for a Savior who was buried. Amen. But folks, I'm so thankful that I don't serve a dead Savior. You come back in the next hour, I promise you, this play, yes, it's a drama, but I promise you it's going to be powerful. The song's going to be powerful. The acting will be powerful. It'll be fun. But if you'll pay attention to the picture and just a little glimpse at the reality of the transformation that Jesus Christ has made in some of your lives already and can make in your life if you have not yet chosen to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'll pay attention and realize just how powerful serving a risen Savior is. Folks, I couldn't imagine bowing down to Buddha. You know, you take a trip to Buddha's grave, you know where you're going to find? Fat bones. Because guess what? He's still dead. He never rose up. Go to Muhammad's grave, you know where you're going to find? Bones. They're still there. But you go to Jesus' site and you can go there. You know, somebody sent me a text this week about the grave clothes. I'm sure some of you know this, but the significance of the folded grave clothes. Everybody know what that means? Folks, they weren't just wadded up and thrown there. See, in their custom, when they were done with something, they wadded up, they'd throw it away, and people would come behind, they'd clean it up. He folded those clothes neatly for a reason. It symbolized that he was coming back. Folks, not only did he choose to rise up himself, but he is coming back for his bride someday. And here's the cool part about that. Only God knows that day. Read the book of Matthew. "No man knoweth the day or the hour in which the Son of Man shall come." But I can picture Jesus sitting there saying, "Dad, is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Not yet, son. There's still people to hear the gospel. There's still people that need to hear your story. There's still people that need to be saved." But I could picture Jesus in anticipation, ready to hear that trumpet sound, ready to come back to get his bride. Folks, that's going to be a great day if you're saved. I'm thankful for the resurrection power of Jesus this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I ask you now as we go into this next hour, Lord, I ask you to bless the food to our bodies. Lord, I just pray, God, that you'll just bless us in the time of fellowship over the next hour. Bless these kids as they come back in here in a little bit and practice. Lord, help them get everything done. And Lord, let the play go well and honor and glorify you this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you'll wait just for a second, if we can get some